Hello, my beautiful friends. I am Laurel Bleeden Maffei with Illuminating Souls, welcoming you to this episode of Sleepy Bedtime Blessings, a podcast designed to help you rest, relax, and fall asleep, all while deepening in your connection with your beautiful team of angels who love you so. If we're meeting for the first time, I am an angelic practitioner, a spiritual teacher, and an encourager of souls. It is the best job ever. I am so blessed to get to bring this work into the world and to share it with you. If you're wondering what I do as an angelic practitioner and spiritual teacher, I do one-on-one angel sessions, which are wonderful. I also offer soul mentoring, which offers consistent support as you move through a time of transition or growth or healing. And then I also offer a variety of classes designed to inspire your spirit. As I record this, I'm getting ready to offer a new cycle of my 6-week class, The Power of Your Voice, which is all about helping you come in to the beauty, the uniqueness, and the light of your own voice. And we're going to be focusing on oral storytelling like I do here on this podcast and much more. And so if you're interested in anything that I just described to you, I invite you to visit me at my website, illuminatingsouls.com. And if you're listening to this podcast months or even years after it was originally recorded, I will likely be offering some other classes that will be empowering and inspiring that perhaps you'll be interested in. So for now, though, I am here to help you come into a place of rest. I'm here to co-create a loving and sacred space where you can connect with the angels. And I know that some of you listen during the daytime. So if you are not planning on going to sleep, my intention is to be a loving, welcoming companion for you as you go about your day. And if you are using the podcast as a sleep tool, I invite you to cozy on up and snuggle on in as you get ready for a good expanse of sleep. This podcast blends together two of my favorite forms of self-care: connecting with the angels and sleep podcasts. I have been using sleep podcasts for years now to help me transition from my waking consciousness into that great mystery of sleep. And I have been working with the angels much, much longer than that. And so truly, it is a blessing to get to be here with you now. As I record this, it is early Sunday morning. The sun is not even up yet, and I'm still in my pajamas and underneath the blanket fort. For those of you who listen, you know that I have this big cozy blanket that I pull over my monitor and my head to create a cozy sound for the podcast. It does amuse me somewhat. There is a big window in front of my desk, in front of my monitor. And it's not that I think my neighbor watches me through the window, but there are times that he is likely coming down his back steps and can't help but glance into the window, and it must look kind of weird to see this big blanket pulled over me. I don't know why that delights me. I like being a little left of center sometimes. So I'm in the blanket fort, in my jammies. And it's dark out, and it's cozy, and it's awesome. And I'm so grateful to get to be here with you. So here's what you can expect, especially if you're new to the podcast. The episode is going to run about an hour because, as a listener of sleep podcasts, that's my preference. When an episode is less than an hour, I feel pressured to fall asleep quickly. But when an episode is an hour, I will typically snooze out before it's over. And if I don't, I just queue up another episode. And rarely am I awake by the end of a single episode. And there's lots of different sleep podcasts out there in addition to this one. One of them that started it all is the Sleep With Me podcast by Andrew Ackerman, which I'm going to share a little bit more about later in this episode. There's another one called Sleepy by Otis Gray. One that I'm presently loving is the Sleepy Bookshelf. And they're, at the moment, they are reading from Little Women. But they've also read Pride and Prejudice and Jane Eyre and my favorite Anne of Green Gables. So lots of different podcasts that you can try out and see which one works for you best. I mix them up. I kind of tune in to see what I'm in the mood for. And I will be happy to share with you that I listen to this one as well, and it puts me to sleep. So, lots of ways to support you. And so, as I was saying, the episode will run about an hour. And typically, I share with you a little bit about life, some spiritual principles. I bring in the angels for you for the first 15 to 20 minutes. And then I tell you a story. And I might read to you from something that's in the public domain. I might tell you a story from my own life. I might mix it up a little bit and share with you something from the Wayback Machine, like an old TV guide or old cookbooks. Just enough to keep you interested, but also rambling enough to make space for you to go to sleep. So I promise not to share anything so important that you will have to stay awake. And already I feel the love of the angels flowing through for you. So if you can't feel it, it's okay. I know that they are here. And I love the ritual of calling them in, so I invite you to take a nice deep breath in and out as I call them in to be with us now. So beautiful angels on high, I invite you to join us here. And even as I say those words, I can feel that you are inviting us to be here with you. And angels, I thank you for your love and your compassion and understanding as you help each one of us on our path of light. and angels I ask that you bring to each of our beloveds. Waves and waves of love. I ask that you bring forward ease on the parts of life that might be feeling challenging. I ask that you lift our worries and fears and replace them with inspiration and a lightness of spirit. And dear ones, just take another breath in, allowing the angels to fill the space you are in with a soft pink light. And this light represents the divine love that is here for you, that has been calibrated just for you. The angels know what is present in your life and in your consciousness right now, and they are here to support you. So just take another breath in, allowing the waves of relaxation to flow through your body, your mind, and your spirit. You know, what I'm guided to share with you is that life is complicated. It's so funny, as a channel, I feel the wisdom coming through me and I search for the words. So it sounded like I was going to say something so profound and I came out with life is complicated, as if this is a brand new concept to you and me too. But I'll tell you why it flowed through that way. As I scan what is present in my life right now, I have many wonderful things transpiring. And I will also share, I have a few places where things are not going as I want them to go. One in particular. And I'm not going to share with you what it is, because the details aren't really important to anyone but me. But we all have that one place in life right now that feels sticky. Where maybe we're going down a slippery slope that we've been down before and we don't want to go there. And our stuff is up around it. That's the official term, in case you're wondering, stuff. And the thing is we all have stuff. We all have our triggers. We all have the aspects of life where things are not going the way we want them to go. Life isn't either all good or all bad. Life is everything, right? It's like you don't just get the sunny weather, you get the cloudy weather. You get it all. And part of learning how to navigate our life in a state of balance is to recognize that life is everything. And so if you have an aspect of life right now where your stuff is up, where maybe things are feeling sticky or challenging, I want you to just take a deep breath in with me. I'm going to take one too. And just invite the angels to support you in what you are presently navigating. You don't need to know how you get out of this, how you shift it. The angels will support you. For now, simply bring the parts of you that are feeling tender or vulnerable or maybe even frightened. Just bring those into the light right now and let the light meet you where you are. and let it be okay. I'm sure you've heard this piece of wisdom before. Sometimes it's okay to not be okay. I remember a few years ago, I was in a really difficult time of life and everything overwhelmed me. I wasn't feeling well. I was dealing with some long-term ripple effects of some health stuff. There was stuff going on in my family. Everything about life was overwhelming me, and it felt like more was getting added to my plate, and I was so overwhelmed. And I was sitting with a few of my girlfriends at an event, doing my best to hold back my tears and not being very successful with it. And my friend said to me something that someone had said to her. It's like one of those pearls of wisdom, right, that gets passed along in conversation around the fire of life. And she said, "Can you let it be okay that it's not okay right now?" And something about that brought me such a deep sense of relief. You know, we all go through passages of life where life is hard and overwhelming, and sometimes if we can just let it be okay that it's not okay right now, there's a sense of relief. It's like, okay, I don't have to figure out how to fix this right now. I can just be where I am. And here's one of the reasons why I find this to be so valuable. I wholeheartedly believe that we are wired to seek the light. And I recognize for some people, they may be in such difficult circumstances that this doesn't work for them. So this is not a one-size-fits-all pearl of wisdom. But I will say this is a pearl of wisdom that fits many, which is, we are innately resilient. And there's a metaphor that I often turn to when I am speaking of the ups and downs of life, and that is that of your everyday variety of houseplant. And the leaves innately move towards the light source. And so we're often taught to turn the plants every few days so that the leaves grow evenly, because they are continually pivoting towards the light. And I believe that we can do the same. There may be times when we don't choose to turn towards the light. Or maybe we can't because things are so profoundly difficult. But when I think about who we are as divine beings in human form, and when we remember that love and compassion are present, it opens something up that invites us to pivot towards the light. And so, when things are hard, it's not that you turn towards the light so that you feel automatically better. It doesn't work like that. But we turn towards the light so that we can receive the love and compassion and sustenance that is available to us. Sometimes we are the leaf of the plant that has been in the shadow, and when we are turned just so it is easier to receive the light source, we begin to open up again. So this podcast is a source of light in that way. I am here to help you remember that you are precious and you are loved and you matter. You matter in such bright, beautiful ways. You are made of stars, and there are still wonderful adventures here for you. I don't care how old you are or how tired you are. I affirm that goodness is flowing to you now, that sparks of inspiration will meet you right where you are, and that if you are struggling with something, I affirm that brighter days are ahead. You're magical. And life is flowing through you, around you, for you. Life is life. We get bright sunny days and storms and everything in between. And through it all, you are loved. It's one of the things I love so much about working with the angels. It's a reminder that there is a 24/7 broadcast of love that is always happening for us all. And as we remember this and learn to pivot our divine satellite dishes in that direction, it makes it easier to remember and to receive this love. This is not a love that you have to earn or be worthy of, any more than a flower in your garden must be worthy of the sun. This love is here for you because you exist, because you are a spark of light of this universe. You are of this love, and this love is you and here for you and with you always. And I'm so lucky that I get to love you right now. I get to feel you in my heart, wherever you are listening from, and I am sending you love, and I am asking the angels to amplify this love to help you remember the beauty of all that you are. You're a miracle, and I am so grateful for this opportunity to love you. So again, if you're getting ready for sleep, just get comfortable in your body, pulling your blankets up just so. And while you rest and hopefully fall asleep, I'm going to tell you a story. So tonight's story is going to come from the Wayback Machine. I am going to share with you my own personal ode to Trader Joe's. And I know we have many of you who listen from outside of the United States, and probably because of the wonders of social media, you may already know about Trader Joe's, which is a U.S.-based specialty grocery store. They sell mostly their own brand of products. So where you might go into a regular grocery store and they would have many different manufacturers' products on the shelves, if you went to the cereal aisle, there would be lots of cereals from different companies. Right, different kinds of crackers or biscuits, as you might call them outside of the United States, from different manufacturers vying for shelf space. At Trader Joe's, they sell their own brand of products. They may every once in a while have other brands, but I would say probably about 90% of the products they sell under the Trader Joe's label. Now, before I get too far into my ode to Trader Joe's, I have to give props to the podcast Sleep With Me by Andrew Ackerman. He has been doing his podcast, I think, since 2014, might even be earlier than that. And his podcast is phenomenal. It's the first podcast I started listening to when this concept of sleep podcasts came to me. It was his podcast that brought this format forward. He was at the time publishing an astounding amount of content. He was doing 3 1-hour episodes every week while he was holding down a job. I don't know how he did it. And each one of his episodes had a different kind of theme. He did stories that he would write. He would do recaps of television shows. And then he had several other themes that would rotate through. And one of my favorites was he would review The Fearless Flyer from Trader Joe's. The Fearless Flyer is a pamphlet printed on newsprint that Trader Joe's brings out, I don't know, maybe every quarter or so. And they profile their latest products. And he would go through The Fearless Flyer and share his thoughts about the products and which ones he tried and what he liked and how he used them. They were some of my very favorite episodes because I felt like I was walking through Trader Joe's with a friend. There was this intimacy to them. He also would do real-time recipes where the narrative would be he invites you over for a meal and then together you go to Trader Joe's and you get the ingredients and then he walks you through how to make the recipe. And I think what I loved so much about both of those kinds of episodes was, as I said, the intimacy of them. I think we are all craving more intimacy, right? Life is weird now, and I love the idea of a podcast feeling like a good friend. You know, when he would flip through The Fearless Flyer, I would, in my mind, go, oh, I love that too. No, I didn't like that one. And it would feel like a conversation, you know, that I might have with a friend if we were out to lunch and then stopping at Trader Joe's afterwards. So I want to really honor what he has already created as I share with you my own experiences of Trader Joe's. And hopefully you will feel like we are having a conversation between friends, because we are. It's just in this conversation, I'm talking out loud and you're probably talking in your head to me. I just want you to know that I hear you. So, my personal story with Trader Joe's starts in 1985, which is the year that I moved from Chicago to Los Angeles. I was 23 years old. And I really didn't know much about Los Angeles other than I knew I wanted to live there and work in the entertainment industry. I don't remember how I found out about Trader Joe's. I think it was just a byproduct of living in Los Angeles, and I lived on the West Side, which was really terrific. I didn't know much about Los Angeles and its geography, but the first apartment I ever got, I got by going to the UCLA Housing Board. I don't know how I thought about that. Someone must have said something to me, or I don't know. I just thought, I'm going to go to the UCLA Housing Board and see if anyone is looking for roommates. And I wound up becoming roommates with two UCLA students, and we had a townhouse on Bundy, just south of Santa Monica Boulevard. So I was on the West Side, and my office was in Century City, so it's pretty lucky that I somehow wound up on the West Side when I moved there, because LA is so big. And I say it's lucky, but I absolutely believe my angels had something to do with that. And as I recall, my cousin Susie also lived on the West Side at that time. And somehow I found out about Trader Joe's. At the time, Trader Joe's was a small regional specialty grocery store. Their first store had started in Pasadena, and by the time I moved to LA, they had a store at Westwood and National. Now, for any of you who lived in LA around that time, you will remember this store. It was, and perhaps still is, I actually don't know if they still exist at that location. I haven't lived in LA since, I don't know, 2008. But at the time, their parking lot was tiny. And I was working traditional business hours in a corporate job, and I could only go to Trader Joe's in the evening or on the weekends with everybody else. And everyone knew that that parking lot was terrible. There was not enough parking for everyone who wanted to shop there, so you would really have to steel yourself and get ready, get in the right mindset to be a parking lot warrior and have patience when you went. And I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, but spent a lot of time in downtown Chicago, so I had what it took to park there. I would wait. I could wait a long time for a parking space. I was wired very differently back then than I am now. And this was before I knew about the parking lot angels. I don't know if you know this, but you can ask the angels to help find you a parking space. Okay, I'm going to digress for a moment, but it's going to be worth it. So, in the metaphysical world, you know, we talk about your thoughts create your reality and all that kind of mumbo jumbo. Well, this is one of the first things I learned. So, if you go back to the episode of my podcast where I talk about my first psychic experiences, it happened when I was enrolled in the MBA program at Pepperdine. And you had to start the program with a class in human development. And the class that I took was taught by Professor Reardon, who taught it through the lens of perception of we are co-creators. And after we read Mastering Your Hidden Self by Serge Kahali King, talking about Hawaiian shamanism, and your thoughts create your reality, which I was still not sold on completely. I was pretty much a skeptic. He told us how he had a student who would manifest a parking space by simply going into her consciousness and broadcasting think space. And she would get a parking space. So, you know, in the world of mysticism, there are all kinds of things we could manifest, but there was nothing more practical that I could put into use other than finding a parking space in Los Angeles when I needed one. So I began to implement that strategy right away. Think space. And more often than not, I would get a parking space. So I just had to insert that. Go ahead and try that. Or you can say, hey, angels, I need a parking space. Like, I know we all want $1 jillion and the house on the beach. But also on a practical level, like a good parking space, right, is awesome. So think space was one of the first manifestation tricks that I learned on my journey. So I don't know that I knew about think space when I first found my way to Trader Joe's, but I did have a lot of chutzpah. That's the Jewish word for nerve. Like I was steeled for this. I was made for this. I grew up in Chicago and I could do this. And so I did not allow myself to get intimidated by their parking lot. And the store was also very small, with small carts, and it was always crowded, so you had to sort of play chicken with people with the carts. Again, I could do this. I grew up in, you know, Chicago. So that, again, did not intimidate me. And you would go to Trader Joe's because there would be things you could get at Trader Joe's that you couldn't get anywhere else. So I was trying to remember what I used to buy back then, and I don't quite remember specifically. I remember a few things. One was I got turned on to pesto pasta. I don't remember pesto being a thing when I lived in Chicago. I don't know when pesto became a national dish here in the U.S., but I know that I discovered it through Trader Joe's. And there are two things that I made. One was tortellini with pesto. I mean, really, it took no talent to make this whatsoever. You would get from the refrigerated section one of the little plastic containers of pesto from Trader Joe's. And they had a 2-pack of tortellini. At the time, I remember they were two different kinds. I think one was cheese and one was spinach. And the Parmesan cheese that was pre-grated, but not like the Kraft green container of shelf-stable Parmesan cheese. This was a much better quality of Parmesan cheese. And all you would do is you would boil up the tortellini and pour in the pesto with a lot of Parmesan cheese, and it was wonderful. Voila, I'm a chef. And one of the memories I do have of my pesto tortellini was the night of the LA riots. I had the supplies to make it, and then I had also stopped at Pavilions, which was a little grocery store in West Hollywood, and got a ton of chocolate, malted milk balls, and bridge mix. And because if the city was going to burn, I was going to need sugar. And my friend Chris wound up stopping by because she was in town and she was looking for an oasis. And so she showed up at the gates of my apartment building like an angel. And she spent the night and we ate a lot of pesto tortellini and chocolate that night. So that was one of the things that I remember. And the other thing I would make, my cousin just reminded me of this yesterday when we were talking, was I would make this bow tie pesto pasta. And the recipe had been given to me by a chef at a restaurant where we had had our Christmas party one year. And so again, super easy. It's not hard. He said, what you do is you take a bunch of garlic and cilantro and red pepper flakes, and you saute your chicken or shrimp or whatever your protein is going to be, and you make the bow tie pasta, and then you mix it all with pesto and a lot of cheese. Voila, I'm a chef. And so that was one of my special dishes, was the pesto bow tie pasta, which was wonderful. And Trader Joe's also at the time was known for having nuts and dried fruit and cheeses and a wide selection of beer and wine. And I wasn't much of a drinker back then, and I didn't particularly like beer, but they had this raspberry beer, which, for those of you who drink beer, you might be horrified at the notion of this raspberry beer, but there was something about it that made it palatable to me back in the day when I thought having a beer was part of, you know, being social. And I just remember people would come over to my house and they'd be like, why are you drinking this stuff? I was like, I don't know, it's from Trader Joe's, it's pretty good. And I would buy different trail mixes there and snacks, and they had this really yummy, chunky, spiced applesauce that I used to get from there all the time that was really good. And so Trader Joe's just really became a part of my life when I lived in LA. And then over the years, they expanded. They certainly expanded in Los Angeles. And at some point, I abandoned the little store at National and Westwood for the stores with bigger footprints. There was one in West Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard I would often go to, and other Trader Joe's stores that I would find my way into that had more parking for sure and bigger footprints, so you weren't having to play chicken with the grocery carts with other shoppers. And then at some point, Trader Joe's began branching out nationally. I remember when they opened up in, I think they were in Evanston first in the Chicago area. And my mom came to love Trader Joe's. She and my Aunt Jane would go together and get their supplies once a month at Trader Joe's. My mom really loved this time of year at Trader Joe's because she loved their boxed pumpkin bread mix and their pumpkin butter. And this time of year, when pumpkin season would come around, and if I visited my mom, there was always some of the little muffins that she would have made out of the pumpkin bread and a jar of the pumpkin butter in her kitchen. And my mom died in February of 2019, and her birthday is December 3rd. And I remember being at Trader Joe's. It was December 3rd of 2019, and I was missing my mom. It was her birthday. And I was just doing my shopping. I was up in Napa, where if you ever go up to Napa, there's a Whole Foods, a barbershop, a Pete's Coffee, and a Trader Joe's lined up in the little strip mall there. And that's where I typically go shopping. And this is back when Trader Joe's was hardcore doing the samples. And I walk in and they were sampling the pumpkin bread with the pumpkin butter on my mom's birthday. And I felt like that was a hello from heaven. I got kind of teary and I said to the woman, like, thank you, without telling her why I was so misty. But to me, that was just a divine wink from my mom and from God that on my mom's first birthday that she was not here on the planet, Trader Joe's was sampling her favorite, the pumpkin bread and the pumpkin butter. So I had my taste and got to feel my mom. So that was That was lovely. So Trader Joe's has really been a part of my life for a long time. And I would always take my mom to Trader Joe's when I would visit her, especially as she got older. And I loved going up and down the aisles with her to see what she liked. So she loved the logs of the goat cheese with the cranberries or the blueberries on it. She loved those. And my Aunt Jane loved the Palmieri cookies. She loved having those with a cup of coffee in the afternoon. And I just can walk up and down the aisles and see what each one of them really liked. Because the thing about Trader Joe's, which is different from other grocery stores, is when you've shopped there for a long time, you build up your own relationship and repertoire of what you love from Trader Joe's. And I will say, I have been a bit challenged with my beloved TJ's recently because they seem to be discontinuing so many of my favorite products, which is part of the hazard of loving Trader Joe's too much, is they are always changing out what they sell. They have a limited number of products that they carry. And so they are forever bringing in new products, but if a new product comes in, it means something else departs. And many of their products are made through co-packing, which means that they source to an outside company to create their private label product. And maybe something changes in the supply chain or with the co-packer, and then a product leaves. And the thing is once a product leaves, you can't go somewhere else to get it. And it is sad. So I will share with you some of my present day Trader Joe's loves, and also some of what has gone away that I am unhappy about. So these days I eat really healthy, and I eat pretty much the same thing all the time. I have a repertoire of foods that I eat. And one of the things that I have every single day almost is a giant salad. I make a giant bowl of salad and it lasts me for 2 to 3 days. And so one of the things that I put in my salad is Trader Joe's has these containers of chopped vegetables. They're little squares. They chop them and they dice them. That's the word. They dice them into little cubes. And I forget what's in there, but there's cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and carrots and celery and jicama and just a lot of stuff that even on my best day, I am never going to chop by myself. I do not like to cook. And so the fact that I can buy this container that is already chopped all of these vegetables into these little cubes. So that is always the first thing that I put into my salad bowl. And since I have started eating salad every day, it now means that I go to Trader Joe's at least once a week to get a fresh bowl of the chopped vegetables. So that is typically the first thing that goes in my cart. I also used to love their olive hummus, which they do not make anymore. And I now get my hummus at the farmer's market. But if this was a few years ago, I for sure would have put a container of the olive hummus into my cart. The other thing that I always, always, always get from there is they have a tub of Parmesan and Romano grated cheese. There's always a tub of that in our refrigerator. Always, always, always. I also will get often a bag of baby carrots, some baby cucumbers. If we are not growing our own tomatoes, I get some cherry tomatoes from Trader Joe's. They have really good produce. I will get I envy apples there. I love my envy apples. Right now they have the Sugar Kiss cantaloupes, which are wonderful. They also have good kinds of bagged salad that I might get. I always get our dairy from there, so I get milk and I get eggs. And I'll tell you about some of the things that they have discontinued that I'm very sad about. They used to have, even just, I don't know, earlier this year or late last year, they had these little one-serving containers of pineapple cottage cheese that had 15 grams of protein. And when I tell you, after I had my bariatric surgery, those things were my dinner for a long time. So I was very sad when they were discontinued. We used to get our oyster crackers there. Their oyster crackers were wonderful. Discontinued. So I now buy mine from Sprouts or Whole Foods. And one of the things that I miss most is their jumbo raisin medley, which was wonderful if you like raisins. I realize raisins are a controversial choice, but they had golden raisins, crimson raisins, and black raisins, and they were wonderful. And my husband and I would go through, you know, a bag a week or every 2 weeks. And again, when you're picking your partner, pick someone you blend well with. Because my husband likes the yellow raisins, and then I would eat the other ones. We still do that. And if you miss those raisins, I have found a source for similar raisins. It's called Sunview Marketing. And so I now mail order raisins. I have become that person. The other thing Trader Joe's is known for is having a great cheese department. And one of the funny things I have to tell you about my cousin Susie and I is somehow this thing happened between us where we realized that whenever we were going to throw a dinner party or have people over, no matter how much food we had, a couple hours before the event, we would all of a sudden get nervous that we did not have enough food. And one of us would have to go to Trader Joe's and get cheese and crackers. We started calling this our emergency cheese. And to this day, no matter how much food I have for an event, I think it's not enough. It must come from the Ashkenazi Jewish heritage of wandering through the desert for 40 years without enough food or something. And my husband really has to talk me out of going out for emergency cheese. I'm like, I think we need more. He's like, we have enough. And my husband's always right about these things. So he calms me down when I get ready for emergency cheese run. So this is an ode to the famous bleed-in emergency cheese run that we would often do. And I really, I am someone who always needs to have food in my house, just kind of going back to the consciousness that forces me on the emergency cheese run. I always need to have food in my house. Wait, and I need to tell you about some of the other things that I'm presently obsessed with at Trader Joe's. So there's a woman I follow on TikTok. I forget her full handle, but her first name is Erica. And she shops at the Trader Joe's I go to in Fairfield. So there's two Trader Joe's that I frequent the most. The one in Napa I told you about. And then there's another one in Fairfield. Each one of them is about 20 miles in opposite directions from where I live. And this woman, Erica, shops at the one in Fairfield. And so when she does her Tuesday Trader Joe runs, I don't know, it makes me so happy to see her shopping at the same store that I shop at. And I will say, parking is never an issue at either one of my Trader Joe's now. which is a good thing because I do not have the fight in me to fight for parking anymore. If I have to struggle for a parking space, I'm not going. Even though I know the angelic secret of asking for help, I now am 60 years old and I shop in the morning on a weekday right before everybody else gets there. So Trader Joe's typically opens at 8 a.m. I'm usually out of there before 10 most of the time. But the foods that I presently get, so my chopped vegetables, this spring they had this amazing poppy seed dressing, which they don't have. I'm hoping it's seasonal and it comes back, because if it does, I'm buying 10 bottles. And we get our dairy. I told you that already. Oh, frozen fruit. They have phenomenal frozen fruit. And we do a lot of smoothies. And now we have our Ninja Creamy. And we put fruit in that. And I do overnight oats for my husband and I. And I put frozen fruit in that. So we get a lot of the frozen fruit from Trader Joe's for sure. Their frozen pineapple. Their frozen mangoes. Their frozen berry mix. Their wild blueberries. And you know what else? This is a great recipe. Okay, I know I don't cook much, but I cook a little. So you get a box of the creamy tomato soup from Trader Joe's. And I think you can get it from other stores as well. It's they co-pack it from a national brand, but it's the creamy tomato soup. And you get a bag of, from the frozen food, I think it's the melange of green beans, potatoes, and mushrooms. And then you get like some bags of the chopped up broccoli, carrots, and cauliflower, fresh. Get those fresh. I don't like them frozen. And you put that all in the crock pot with whatever seasonings you want. And you just put it in the crock pot for a couple hours. It is the most delicious vegetable soup ever. So in the winter, we make that all the time. So I get the creamy tomato soup from Trader Joe's for sure. They also have things like, you know, the chicken broth or veggie broth. Oh, and how could I not talk about everything but the bagel seasoning? Which is now something you can get everywhere, but Trader Joe's invented that, I think, back in 2016. Because everybody knows that the seasoning on an everything bagel is where it's at. So Trader Joe's invented the everything but the bagel seasoning, which is amazing. I always have that in my cabinet. And then I don't think I can buy these anymore because I eat too much of them, which is always the way with a really good snack, is they have these things. I think they're called crunchy curlies. They're lentil chips. And Erica on TikTok said that she loved them. And so, I had to buy some, which was a mistake. I can't try new food because then I get obsessed. And I'm obsessed with these things now. They are the perfect crunch. And so I bought some and I loved them. And then they were out of stock for months. So when they came back, I bought a lot. And so I'm still working off my stash. And they're really good for protein, not the lentil chips. That was a bad segue. But Trader Joe's is also a good place to go for your protein bars. So they have the Bear Bells, which I like, and they have the Think Thins, which I like. And they did have these really good fiber bars that I think may not be in production anymore because I haven't seen them in a few months. So that's the thing, you know, stuff goes away at Trader Joe's and it's sad when it does. I still miss my Jumbo Raisin Medley. That was good, and they had it for years. And I miss my pineapple cottage cheeses. But Trader Joe's is a part of life, you know, it's a part of my weekly ritual, and they now are in most major metropolitan areas. and they have become quite the darling of social media. So even if you live outside of the US, you likely know about Trader Joe's because a lot of people on Instagram and TikTok post a lot of pictures of the products from Trader Joe's. And it's funny, I love to go up and down the aisles, but I typically get the same thing every time I'm there. I am definitely a creature of habit. And the other thing I will say, not only about Trader Joe's, but a lot of other product lines, is somewhere in my adult life, I don't know when it was, but spicy became an essential flavor profile in mainstream food. I don't recall that being the case when I was growing up, but now so much of the products and the new products coming from Trader Joe's, they are habanero and sriracha and jalapeno and spicy stuff, and I do not do well with spicy stuff. So a lot of times when the new products come out with at Trader Joe's that are spicy, I just am like, yeah, not for me. I will also say Trader Joe's has great chocolate, but I don't eat sugar anymore. And they have good ice cream, but again, I don't eat that anymore. So I stick to my usual things, but I love when the new product lines come out at Trader Joe's. I love looking at all of them. I'm very much a voyeur when it comes to grocery shopping. I don't have to buy it for it to make me happy. Right? Just that it exists delights me. Like right now, they have this maple kettle popcorn, which I am not going to eat because it has too much sugar. I just love that it exists, though. I love that the pumpkin bread mix still exists. I'm not going to make it, but I love that it's there. So thank you, Trader Joe's, for all the delight that you have brought to me and to many others. Thank you for all the wonderful memories. And I still see myself going through Trader Joe's with my mom. We would have the best time. You know, in her later years, she was on a budget like many retired people are. And so it's not that she withheld from herself, but she wouldn't fill a cart with tons of stuff. So I would love taking my mom to Trader Joe's. And if I even saw her lingering for a moment in front of something, I would put two of whatever it was in the cart. I was like, come on, mom, I'll get it for you. And we would, you know, get things that the other hadn't tried. I'm like, oh, mom, you're going to love this. And then we would go back excitedly to see what they were sampling. And we would be excited as we tried our samples together. So Trader Joe's has been a big part of my life's memories, and we'll revisit it again. I might stock up on a few Fearless flyers at some point, like Scoots does on Sleep With Me. Maybe we'll find some more memories to share with each other. So this is my ode to Trader Joe's, and thank you for letting me share it with you. I love you very much, and I am grateful for our time together. So you rest well, my beautiful friend. Know that you are loved. Know that you are precious in this world, and I am grateful for you. And we will talk again soon. Thank you.